Let's read together Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. In these verses, Paul refutes any idea that you can attain perfection in this life, even as a Christian. Furthermore, he emphasizes what the goal of Christian living should be for every Christian. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's consider some background notes, first of all. When Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he would have loved to come there to Philippi and visit them, not only because he enjoyed their Christian fellowship, but also to teach them and answer their questions and help them settle their problems. But Paul could not visit the church at Philippi because he was a prisoner in Rome. After his third missionary journey, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem because of his Christian faith, and he was in prison for 2 years in Caesarea, first of all, on the coast of Israel. Because his situation seemed to be at a standstill, Paul appealed his case to Caesar. That meant he had to go to Rome as a prisoner and await his trial there. Now, we believe that after about 2 years under house arrest in Rome, Paul was tried and acquitted. A great answer to prayer. But while he was waiting for his trial, he was able to preach to any visitors who came, and he certainly witnessed to the Roman guards. Furthermore, he was able to write. Let me just read of that situation here in Acts chapter 28, the last two verses. Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house and received all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. Now, one of the concerns that Paul had when he wrote to the Philippians was the danger of false teaching. It was not that false teaching had penetrated the church at Philippi, but it was around, and it could influence sound doctrine by distorting it. And so Paul wrote to warn the Philippians of the dangers of false teaching. In the first half of chapter 3 here, Paul warned the Philippian believers to be aware of the false teaching of Judaism. The influence of this false teaching, which was works-oriented, could distort the truth of the divine method of sanctification, as well as distort the teaching of the proper goal of Christian living. Some of the Judaizers thought that they could actually attain spiritual perfection in this lifetime. Paul shows in these verses that even as a dedicated Christian, perfection in this life is impossible. Such false teaching distorts what the goal of Christian living is all about. And that then brings us to our doctrinal points or teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, there is a present goal for the Christian. There is a present goal for the Christian. What is that goal? Is it Christian service? No. Christian service is good, but that's not the goal for the Christian. Is it spiritual experiences? No. The present goal for the Christian is to know Christ. Verse 10, that I may know him. Now you might say at this point, well, wait a minute. I thought Paul knew Christ. He was a Christian, wasn't he? Of course he was. He met the Lord on the Damascus Road. He knew the Lord as he became a Christian. But Paul's goal in life as a Christian was to know the Lord more. He wanted to know the Lord more and more in an ever-deepening relationship. Is that your present goal as a Christian? It should be. Spiritual experiences and Christian service will all fall into the right place if we make our present goal to know Christ more. Well, you might say, okay, that's great. How do you get to know the Lord more? Well, how do you get to know a personal friend better? You spend time with them. You keep the lines of communication open and in the same way. We keep the lines of communication open with the Lord through lots of scripture so that he can speak to us, and through lots of prayer when we speak to the Lord. Now in the rest of verse 10, Paul elaborates on three key areas of Christian experience that need to be practiced if we really want to know the Lord more. First of all, we need to practice the power of his resurrection. Verse 10 again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Have you experienced the resurrection power of our Lord in your life as a Christian? That power is available to live our lives as Christians. I'm reading Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead? The very power which raised Christ from the dead is available to us. That power is available to strengthen us as Christians, to resolve differences between brothers and sisters, to strengthen us to do the right thing, to strengthen us to work out marriage and family problems. Do you know the Lord more in this area? Have you experienced his resurrection power? A second area that we need to practice in order to know the Lord more is the fellowship of his sufferings. Verse 10 again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. This is not his sufferings on the cross for our sins. No, the sufferings of the atonement are over. The fellowship of his sufferings has to do with our willingness to participate in suffering for the sake of Christ. That's what's involved in the fellowship of his sufferings. As a husband and wife, for example, get to know one another more as they suffer through trials together, so we get to know the Lord more in an ever-deepening relationship as we walk with him in this life through the trials and tribulations that he allows. A third area we need to practice in order to know the Lord more is being conformed to his death. Verse 10 once again, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Does Paul mean this literally? That he wanted to be a martyr, conformed to the Lord's death in that way? Maybe. But I believe he meant the death to self principle that we all need to practice if we would know Christ more. That's what it means to take up the cross daily and follow Christ. Die to self and live for him. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. If we practice being conformed to his death more, we will know him more. In verse 11, Paul says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is not an expression of doubt here. Paul knows that he will be resurrected, but his point here is that he wants to practice the present goal of Christian living consistently all the way through until that time. That is, all the way through his life, whether he lived until the Lord returned or died before the Lord returned. Is that our present goal of Christian living? To know him more by knowing the power of his resurrection, by knowing the fellowship of his sufferings, by knowing what it means to be conformed to his death? There is a present goal for the Christian, to know Christ more. Doctrinal point number two. There is a future prize for the Christian. There is a future prize for the Christian. Verse 14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Notice there's a difference between the goal and the prize. Now, what is that prize? Is it salvation? No. We start the Christian life with guaranteed salvation. Is it the upward call to heaven that we read of there in verse 14? I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. No, I don't think that's the idea. The idea in upward call is not the call home to heaven, but rather heavenly calling, as we have in Hebrews 3 and verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So then what is the prize of our heavenly calling? We'll go back to verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Paul is saying that he hadn't yet attained the present goal of knowing the Lord fully, and he wasn't yet perfected. That's the prize, to fully know the Lord and be perfected, to be fully conformed to the image of Christ. We don't attain that prize in this lifetime. It's future. At the resurrection, we will receive new bodies, bodies free from sin. Think of how we'll be able to know and appreciate the Lord when we're perfected. Remember, this prize of glorified, sin-free bodies and fully knowing the Lord and being fully conformed to His image is future. In the meantime, during this life, we press on. We are not perfect. We cannot be perfect in this lifetime. It's part of the prize. But we can press on for the prize. As Hosea 6:3 says, let us press on to know the Lord. There is a future prize for the Christian. Now, what about practical application? Make a fresh start every day. Make a fresh start every day. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Now, by forgetting the past, Paul did not mean that he obliterated his memory or he forgot to pay his debts or correct his mistakes. No, that would be bad interpretation of Scripture. What he meant was that he was not going to rest on his laurels or let his past failures demoralize him. Like a runner, he was going to press on every day, a fresh new start. We need to do the same. Make a fresh start every day. Don't rest on your past achievements as a Christian, because you can never say you've arrived in this lifetime. You know, I had a Christian man tell me once that he had arrived as a Christian and didn't sin much anymore. And he actually expected to be sinless within 1 or 2 years. Can you believe it? I said, what about the great sin of pride? You know, bragging that you're almost sinless. Well, he got mad at that and exhibited the sin of anger. So he slipped back, I guess. We will never be perfect in this lifetime. So don't rest on your laurels, on the one hand, and don't get discouraged and demoralized on the other hand. Press on. Make a fresh start every day. As Paul says in verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. That is, God had a plan for Paul's life. Paul wanted to lay hold of that plan and fulfill it. He didn't want to get bogged down by looking back. He pressed on. The same should be true for us. God has a plan for our lives. Don't look back. Keep pressing on. Make a fresh start every day.